this is Carl Weinschenk for the Daily Music Break. The Daily Music Break is at www.dailymusicbreak.com. The Daily Music Break covers all music across eras and genres. We're all over the map, and that's exactly how we like it. Please stop by to hear some really great music, hear some podcast interviews, playlists, and some other surprises, and also to get our free email newsletters. Today, we're thrilled to be speaking to Matt Panaitis, actually, for the second time. Matt is a jazz guitarist who has some news, and we thought it would be great to catch up. How are you doing today, Matt?
Pretty good. How are you, Carl? Good to be speaking with you.
It's great to be speaking with you, and I'm doing just great. Matt, to start with, where can folks find some Matt Panaitis music?
Well, it's available on iTunes. You can always go to my website as well. All of my CDs are on sale there. You can find it on Amazon, and actually, I think some actual CD stores, if you can find one,
really
be appearing there. Yeah.
You can actually go into a physical location, give them green currency, and walk away with one of your CDs.
Yeah, I believe so.
I think there's a future in that. That sounds like an interesting new concept.
Nice.
Matt, people will have listened to the, about a minute or so of one of your latest cuts, cut from your latest album on the beginning of the podcast here. But if you could fill out a little bit of what kind of jazz you play, who you're liking yourself to, that would be a good place to start the conversation, the update.
Sure. I mean, I would say that I'm a modern jazz guitar player. Mm-hmm. Some of my idols are people like George Benson, mm-hmm. Grant Green, Jimmy Rainey, Wes Montgomery. These are all guys that I have a real affinity for. But then some more modern players like John Scofield, Mike Stern, Alan Holdsworth.
Mm-hmm.
Those guys are great too.
It's always heartening to me. I'm not an expert in anything, but I've listened to a lot of music. When I talk to someone who names a mix of people who I know, like George Benson, Wes Montgomery, and then people who I don't know, obviously are great players. That's a terrific thing. You know, there's always new stuff to discover and explore.
Yeah, absolutely.
I'll have to check those guys out. Now, Matt, we last spoke to you in June, and I think there's been some news since then. When we first spoke, it was a couple of days before your Kickstarter crowdfunding project ended. How did that turn out for you?
Yeah, it was a really exciting thing. I actually met the goal.
Great.
So I was able to get the funds. I had a lot of people that helped me make this album. Mm-hmm. They made this album possible. I couldn't have done it without them.
Mm-hmm.
So we got the money and we made the album.
Great. And what's the name of the album?
It's called Conduits.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
And it just came out.
When was that? When did it actually get released?
February 15th
mm-hmm.
was the official street date.
How many albums do you have out?
This is my second as a leader.
Mm-hmm. How is there a distinction between the two albums? If someone's familiar with your music, but not with what's on each album, would they be able to say that's probably from the second one and this other one is probably from the first one? Or are they fairly similar?
Well, I mean, I guess they are similar on one hand because it's the same instrumentation.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I'm dealing with this quartet format where I play with a saxophone player, Rich Perry. He's on both of my albums, but I'm using a different rhythm section, a different drummer, and a different bass player than mm-hmm. I did before.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, it's all original composition, so it's all coming from me. The big difference I would say is that the first album, those were songs that I wrote over quite a long period of time.
Right.
You know, for some of them even went back to like when I was in college, which seems like quite a while ago. And, and then finally I got a chance to get into the studio and lay that stuff down.
Mm-hmm.
Whereas this album, it happened much. I wrote the music much quicker, maybe over a period of like 2 years, and sort of worked on the music through performing around the city and in different places.
Is your stuff that's back from your college days and the stuff that you've written for this album the last couple of years, I mean, is it significantly different, or did you know what you were all about way back then?
Ooh, that's a good question. I mean, to me, I hear it as pretty different. I hear like sort of the kernels of the ideas of what I'm doing now.
Right.
Back then.
Uh-huh.
But I it's taken me a while to sort of develop the ideas and in some cases to actually even play the ideas. You know, I was thinking about certain things maybe 15 years ago, but I couldn't quite execute it.
Mm-hmm.
But now, you know, hopefully it's coming together a little bit better now.
Mm-hmm. I always wanted to ask a question of someone who's, you know, I would imagine that you improvise a lot and there's a lot of jamming. I would imagine. Now, when I think of any form of music, when I think of big band jazz, for instance, those guys will go out and pretty much play the same thing every night. You know, if you're doing Satin Doll, it's Satin Doll every night.
Mm.
How, when you go out and you have a cut on your album on a given night, when you're playing, you know, playing a show somewhere, is it going to be, what will it be the same as the album and the same as the previous night or the next night to as high a percentage as, you know, Duke Ellington playing Satin Doll every night, or is there more of a discrepancy between versions on a particular night?
I would say that there's a lot of variation. I would certainly play certain similar. I would play the same tunes, perhaps.
Right.
You know, so they're going to have a melody that if you've heard my album, you would recognize the melody. But once we get into the improvisation sections, you know, anything can go, really.
Mm-hmm.
And it might go to a wildly different place. You know, based on how we're feeling that night, based on who's in the audience that night, you know, based on just the general vibe of the room, you know, we try to feed off of that and make something kind of new and in the moment.
Mm-hmm. What happens? I always wanted to ask this too. And I talk to musicians, I get to ask these questions I've always wondered about. What happens on nights where you're just not feeling it? You know, your car got a ticket.
Uh-huh.
Car, you know, and your cable service was down, and you know, you were walking down the street and a bus came by and splashed your suit. You know, what I guess you can turn that into a blues, but I mean, what and I'm trying to be fancy with my language, but mm-hmm. are there nights where it's just really difficult to get it going?
Yeah, I mean, I think it happens to everybody. You might have a night where you're not totally in the moment, and yeah, you have things that are kind of dragging you down.
Mm-hmm.
But honestly, just playing music, it's such a blessing. It's such a great thing that oftentimes, just being around these musicians and trying to make something, it can pull me out of all kinds of funks, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, through that interaction, you can usually come up with some inspiration. Mm-hmm. Even that being said, you know, if you're really not feeling anything, hopefully you've got enough stuff together, enough musical concepts together that you can play things that make sense, and you know, we'll communicate some idea, but it just might not be that powerful, deeply felt feeling that you always strive to put across to audiences.
Mm-hmm. Okay. And I'm sure you can hear my dog has this sense of being able to sense when I'm doing a podcast and starts barking. It's really amazing. And you're New York City based right now.
Yeah, that's right.
What are you doing now in support of the CD? Are you playing around a lot? Are you playing in the city? Are you touring?
Yeah, we are. I am playing a significant amount in the city. We had a CD release concert a couple of weeks ago, right after the album came out, down on the Lower East Side. I'm actually heading out to a gig tonight, on the east side of town, playing at this place called Tomy Jazz. So I'm lining up gigs. The real radio push for the album is actually just beginning this week. So hopefully people are going to be hearing it around the country, and based on that, I'm going to try to set up touring for the summer.
Beautiful, beautiful. It's been great catching up, Matt. Please again say the name of the album. I'll say it's Conduits, and let folks know where to get a hold of it, including those strange buildings you're telling me about.
Yes, the album is Conduits. You can find it on my website, which is, mattpanaitis.com, my first and last name.com. You can get it on iTunes, Amazon, and yeah, actually some CD stores. If they exist in your neighborhood, you can probably find it there.
Okay, great. Well, it's been great catching up. Congratulations on the success with the Kickstarter campaign and with the album. We obviously wish you the very, very best of luck with it.
Thanks so much, Carl. It's really great to talk to you again.
Thank you. This is Carl Weinschenk for the Daily Music Break. The Daily Music Break is at www.dailymusicbreak.com. Please stop by to hear some great jazz, rock, opera, classical, country, or any kind of music you can think of. Get some free email newsletters, hear some good interviews, and hear some playlists. Thank you all very much for listening to the Daily Music Break podcast. Bye bye.